today we're in for a real treat. Always in for a treat when you come to Vertical, right? It's always going to be good and special. Today, even something more special. So to help me today in communicating what God has spoken in his word, what he has to say to us through this series, That's My King, I'm going to invite Todd Sims to the stage this morning. Come on up, Todd. Y'all give Todd a hand. Because while I'm preaching today, Todd is going to be painting, all right? So I know from this moment forward, you're never going to look at me again for the rest of this message. I could go over here and do somersaults. I could run off the stage, go out and get some coffee and come back, and you'd probably never notice. So that's fine. I'm okay with you watching him and listening to the Spirit of God as he speaks this morning. Fair enough? Yeah, and that's good. I know the Spirit of God is speaking. It's not my words. It's his words that are important. It's not me. It's him. It's his spirit that's moving and speaking. And so I know you're going to be tuned in to all that is happening here, here, and from here. Amen? Yeah. So it's so good to recognize when you see God's hand moving in your life, isn't it? It's frustrating when you don't. When all of a sudden it feels murky and cloudy and you can't see where he even is anymore. But I'm grateful that God has shown us in his word and by his spirit where he moves and how he moves. And I love those moments when he moves and I clearly see that's him. It's not something that I orchestrate or that happens by chance or by luck. It's him clearly moving. And it's good to look in those moments and say, that's my king. That's him moving right there and recognize that. This is the beauty of knowing the Lord through Jesus Christ. And the sad truth is, or not everybody gets to see that. Not everybody sees God's hand at work. And God has chosen to take his ways and make them seeable to a certain group of people. They're not defined by their nationality. They're not defined by their race. They're defined by a quality that we're going to see today in the scriptures. God has chosen to reveal himself to a very specific group of people. Mary illustrates it for us, and Mary's going to say it today. Mary's prayer that we've been looking at is powerful in that she's going to tell us exactly who it is that God chooses to reveal himself to and who God chooses to do powerful things. Man, I want to be one of those that are chosen for that. Amen? I don't want to be the spectator on the side watching someone else get to do all of that. I want to be up in that. I want to be part of that. And I'm assuming that that's what you want too, or you wouldn't be here this morning. You want to see God moving. You want to be one of the ones that he chooses and say, this is my beloved. And I'm going to show them my heart and my ways. And I'm going to do powerful things through them. So God does have a way in which he works. He has a certain group that he chooses. And it's important that we know that. As we look at Mary, we know that he chose her. And Mary's story is not given to us just so that we can look and think, wow, that must be really nice. Must be nice to be someone like that. No, Mary's story is given to us so that we would know, here is the kind of heart that God is looking for. Because God loves all that he has created. Amen? He loves his creation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son so that none should perish, but that all would come to life in him. But of those who become followers of Jesus, there is a group that he will choose and that he will use. Our message today is called, This is Who He Chooses. And I want us to all consider what Mary has to say so that we can have what she had that made her a valuable commodity in the kingdom of God. We know that Mary was a woman of faith. We know from what she has told us already in her prayer and her song we've looked at in Luke chapter 1 that she knew the scriptures. In fact, much of this prayer that she prays is packed with references to the scriptures. So we know that she's a woman of faith. We know that she's found favor with God. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." It wasn't just a random choice. It was a very specific choice by God. And why he chose her is where we are headed today. So turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 50 and 51 and 52. And I want to give just a little bit of context because we have been listening to Mary's song slash prayer. If you remember, the angel did appear to her, told her she had been chosen, she'd been highly favored and blessed, and she would give birth to the Son of God. It would not be from another man. It would be from the Holy Spirit who would conceive in her, and what would be born would be Jesus, the Son of God. And so she, in that moment, is overwhelmed, and she says, "Let it be to me according to your word, just as you've said it, may it happen." And then she goes quickly to go see cousin Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth, who is older than Mary, much older than Mary, has also been found pregnant with child. And it will be John the Baptist. And Elizabeth gives her such words of encouragement that she's moved by all of them. And we've seen where Mary has said so far, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." And today, verse 50, we pick up with these words. "His mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm." This shows us right away who it is that God chooses. He chooses those who will fear him. Now, Mary says it's mercy that is given to those who fear him. It's his favor. It's his grace. It's his demonstration of not giving them what they deserve, but giving them grace instead of blessing them and honoring them. And who is it that God does all of that for? It's on those who fear him. Now, this is not the kind of fear that makes you run and hide. This is not the kind of fear that happens when you see a snake in your grass at your house and you run. That's not the kind of fear I'm talking about. This is the kind of fear and awe that cause you to see something glorious and wonderful, and you're actually drawn to it. Maybe it's like the time that you first saw the Grand Canyon, if you've seen the Grand Canyon. You can see pictures of it, but when you were standing there and you're looking at it, you don't run and say, "Ah, it's awful." No, you see the power of it, the wonder of it, and you're actually drawn to it. When I think about what God has done and that he has shown mercy to me, a sinner, that he has been good to me when I didn't deserve him being good to me, when he has given his son on my behalf, when he has invited me to come to him by faith and not by a list of works, when he has told me that when I believe that he seats me in heavenly places with him, when he fills me with his spirit, when I receive his blessings, I don't look at all of that and think, "Ah, it's terrible, I'm gonna run away, I'm afraid of him." No, I am actually drawn to him because of his great goodness. Amen? And this is where Mary is. She says his mercy is on those who fear him, reverence him, are in awe of him. And this happens from generation to generation. In each generation, God is looking for those who will reverence him, worship him, and receive him. Mary goes on, and she talks about here this strength being shown. Here is the power of God being shown to Mary and to all who will believe. By his own strength, by his own arm, God acts. I'm so grateful that God chooses us to be those that he works through and shows his strength. I'm so grateful that God has not chosen the mighty of this world, but has chosen the weak things of this world and the weak among this world to show himself most strong through. Amen? And this is what he does. He shows his strength through those who are weak. He doesn't tell us that we have to make ourselves strong. He tells us to come to him by faith. And then he says, I will do now my greatest work through those who will believe me and trust me. He goes on in verse 51, and or Mary goes on in 51 and says, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. You see, God chooses the humble and God refuses the proud. This is how God works. This is our King. To those who are arrogant, to those who are lifting themselves up, to those who say, I don't need a God telling me what to do. I'll never bow my knee to him. To those, God scatters. This word here, scattered, in the verses, an interesting word. It's a word that means to break apart and to just cast off into the wind. It's a word used for winnowing when there was wheat and they would cast off the shell from the grain, and what was left was just scattered into the wind. And this tells us that when God sees those who are proud and arrogant, those who are lifted up in themselves, God will take what they hold in their hands and he will cause it to be broken and to be crumbled and to just be cast off into the wind. So those today who are lifted up in arrogance, those who say, I don't need a Jesus, doesn't matter how great they are, how powerful they are, how rich they are, how prominent they are, God will take whatever is in their hand and he will cause it to be broken and crumble and scattered off into the wind. But by choosing Mary, he was saying, this is how I will do my work through those who are humble, through those who are lowly. I will put down the arrogant. I will put down the mighty. All of those who sit on their thrones, all of those who have made themselves rulers and think they are great, I will put all of them down. So today I want us to look at three powerful truths from these verses that Mary has for us today. And the first truth is this: God will always bless the humble who are fully committed to him. We're told in the Bible to humble ourselves. It's a choice we make. It's something we intentionally choose to do, to lay aside our pride, to lay aside our stubbornness and humble ourselves and call on the name of the Lord. It's a choice we make. The Bible tells us that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This is true for those who were lost, and this is true for those who are children of God. If you are a child of God, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, but you are filled with arrogance and pride and stubbornness and refusal, there is an element in which God is putting his hand on your life and refusing you from moving forward in his grace. But if you are humble, the Bible says that God will unload grace to you. God loves those who have a humble heart. God loves those who know they need a Savior and they bow their knee to Jesus. God gives grace to those who know that they are not the king, but that Jesus is the king and they obey him. God gives grace to those who openly confess Jesus is Lord. God gives grace to those who willingly lay aside their own will to follow the will of God. That's humility. God gives grace to those who are quick to admit their weaknesses and repent of their sins. God loves the humble who continually to seek first the kingdom over every other priority. God loves the humble who openly express their worship without fear of what anyone else will think. God loves the humble and gives grace to them who express their love for the people in their life and their appreciation for them. God gives grace to the humble who quickly seek forgiveness when they have wronged someone God gives grace to the humble who serve patiently, wait quietly, and hold to Jesus confidently. And they actively seek to be humble in their life, to humble themselves. But the humble do something else. They know the destructive power of pride, and they are continually seeking to root it out of their life. As I said before, it's possible to be a child of God and still walk in arrogance. Have you ever met an arrogant Christian? Have you ever walked at times in your life where you were that one? You were the one who said, I believe in Jesus Christ, but you're so filled with yourself, so filled with arrogance, so filled with stubbornness and pride, and you weren't doing the work of crucifying your flesh. You weren't doing the work of taking up your cross. You weren't doing the work of humbling yourself. So I want to take just a moment and talk about what pride can look like in the life of a follower. And I would say, if this part steps on your toes, let it step on over a whole lot more than just that. Amen? Go ahead and let your heart get out there too, and let it get stepped on by the Holy Spirit so we can all walk in humility and not pride. Amen? We're all on the same page on this deal. So here's what pride can look like even in a follower of Jesus Christ. They're self-sufficient and they say they don't need anyone to help them. They take all the credit for what God and others have done for them. They justify their sin instead of turning from it. They blame other people for their sin instead of owning the responsibility for it. They refuse to admit that they are ever wrong. They're desperate for constant affirmation. They never show vulnerability or weakness. They refuse to be honest about their own spiritual need. They refuse to express appreciation for those they love. They refuse to express worship openly in front of others. They're defensive when confronted with their sin. They have anger issues. They have rage issues. And they're missing out on the active presence of God's favor in their life. The proud are obsessed with what others think about them. They refuse to accept counsel. They keep a distance from anyone who could possibly see into their life. And they talk about how spiritual they are and how much they know, but have little transformation of their heart. They draw the line as to how far they'll really go in following Jesus, and they only have stories about the past and God working in them and no new, fresh work. This is where pride can creep in to even the child of God. But the humble, they are actively seeking to eliminate those from their life. They are actively seeking God, his heart, and to be transformed. And as a result, God will bless them. He'll bless them and protect them. He'll raise them up. He will provide for them. He will shield them. He will celebrate them. He will show them his ways. He'll do miracles in their life. He'll show them how he's going to destroy the enemy through them. And he will use them to bring many others to know him. Because God always blesses and uses the humble. He did with Mary. Our second truth this morning is this, is that God will always scatter the arrogant who refuse to bow their knee. Again, this is true for those who don't know Jesus, but it's also true for those who know Jesus, who walk in their own arrogance. God will bring their efforts to nothing. It's sad to watch someone struggle in their arrogance. Have you ever seen it before? Have you ever seen even the child of God who is filled with arrogance and they refuse to change, refuse to repent, and you watch their life and it just starts crumbling away? And they don't get it. It just makes them more mad. It makes them blame other people. It makes them more bitter. Their relationships start falling apart. Their family starts falling apart. Their marriage starts falling apart. Their finances start falling apart. Their career efforts start falling apart. They don't have any sense of awareness of God's presence active in their life. Their mental health begins to fall apart. And whatever they've got in their hand seems to just crumble, because God will always bring the proud to a place of where what they hold in their hand is just scattered away. It's not because God is mean or cruel. It's because God wants us to have humble hearts. And what's needed sometimes is for what we hold in our hand to crumble, so that we will lift up our hands and seek Him. God will bring the proud to a place of lowness. He will humble them. You see, Mary all saw this, and I love the fact that even when Mary had just only heard that the Holy Spirit would conceive in her, in that moment, she prayed this prayer. In that moment, she believed. Before she ever felt the first movement inside, before she ever felt any labor pain, before she ever got into the moment of birth, before Jesus was ever born, before He would ever grow up as a toddler, before He would ever be a young man, before He would ever go and preach His first message, before He would do His first miracle, before He would be rejected by the Pharisees and the Jews and many others, before He would be arrested, before He would be taken to the cross, before He would die, before He would be placed in a tomb, before He would be resurrected, before He would walk again and see her again, before any of that ever happened, she proclaimed it as already true, that God has exalted the lowly and He will always put down the proud. It's a good reminder for all of us, because there's times in our life when there are people who are proud around us and we're wondering, when are they going to be scattered? When are they going to face what they've done? When are they who are tyrannical, who are cruel, going to have to pay? When are those who have suffered for doing right going to be lifted up? When are the humble going to be exalted? When am I going to see the reward of all my faith, God? When am I going to see the promise of everything that I believe? When am I going to be lifted up, Lord, when I've sought You and trusted You? We don't always know the when that it's going to happen, but we certainly know the who holds all things in His hands and makes sure that it will happen. Amen? He will bring it to pass. And Mary's story gives us so much hope that you can be sure of this, that God will bring the proud to nothing. You don't have to wonder if He's going to do it. You can be certain that He will do it. There'll be those who can elevate themselves now. There'll be those who can insult, put down, mock, and deny the power of God now. There'll be those who can persecute and abuse followers of Jesus now. There'll be those who will lie and deceive, protect themselves, and despise God's ways now. But there's coming a day when those who rejected the payment of Jesus for their sins will have to pay for their sins on their own. There's coming a day when those who thought they were getting away with it all will face every sin that they've committed. There's coming a day when those who've denied Jesus as Savior will stand before that Jesus as judge, because God always puts down the work of the proud. And there's coming a day when every lying spirit, every deceiving spirit, every mocking demon, every enslaving stronghold, every principality that has held families in generational bondage, every lie from the pit of hell against the goodness and glory of God will be cast down. There's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen? Our third point this morning, God has shown us in Jesus that He always elevates the humble. Aren't you grateful for that? It's such an upside down way to what the world works. It's such an upside down way to the way He moves from what the way the world moves. The world wants to elevate itself. The world wants to show off itself. The world wants to put itself in charge and be king. And Jesus does something completely different. He didn't choose Jesus to come from earthly power structures, to come from earthly wealth, from earthly prominence. He chose a humble servant girl. He didn't choose for Jesus to be born in a palace, into nobility. He chose for Jesus to be born in a manger in the little town of Bethlehem. He didn't choose for Jesus to come wearing royal robes, riding a royal chariot, or surrounded by armies of power. He chose for Jesus to come as a baby. And Jesus lived in humility. Though he was God and had all rights to God, though he could have demanded all to bow and worship him, he made himself of no reputation. He took on flesh and blood and limitation like us. He humbled himself. And though he could have executed all who judged him, he took on the sin of the world. And he turned the world upside down. And he proved to us once again that God's ways are not our ways. He exalts the lowly. He puts down the proud. And he turns earthly crowns upside down to show us that he exalts the lowly. Todd? Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Yeah. This is our King. He's a glorious King. He's a good King. And he looks for those whose hearts will be humble, who will trust him, who will walk that out in their lives, who will be humble in their relationships, who will be humble in acknowledging they're wrong, who will be humble in asking for forgiveness, who will be humble in seeking reconciliation, who will be humble in allowing him to choose the priorities of their life, who will be humble and give God the first and the whole, who will be humble and give their heart completely to him. Those he will exalt, those he will honor, and those he will bless. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you that you are such a good and glorious and gracious God. Your ways are higher than our ways, and you choose what the world would never choose. While there are those today who seek to elevate themselves, who seek to have servants, who seek to demand to be served, who seek to demand they get all the glory, you sent your Son and came in humility. And you are still looking today for those who will put you first, who will live humble, lowly, associate with those in need, who will give you the glory, who will put you first. We worship you today, King Jesus, for you are the one who does things upside down from what we would have ever chosen. And for that, we are grateful. And for that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.